Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Today, I'm excited to have guest Kendall Ann Bird with me from Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you?
Hi, Mackenzie. I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
I know. I found you like somehow on social media. And your name of the show dragged me right in.
Oh, good.
Always looking for new guests, and I like this, so what is it?
Wonderful.
So that was great. We're going to talk about your show, High Heels and Heartache, in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to talk about a quick topic that I found the other day, and it's entitled, Are You an Ideas Person? And this is about people that can pitch an idea to American public media in hopes that they'll pick it up and make it a show and turn it into a full season or something like that. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like we're able to
talents
and get it into a larger network company like that.
Yeah, that's certainly different than most of us. What we've had to do is kind of like build it up one brick at a time here. Yeah. Something like this would have been very helpful when I was starting out.
Yes, it would be. So,
you know what the first thing I thought of too? I thought, oh my gosh, I want to pitch them a podcast where celebrities or highly respected people come on and just tell you like their most embarrassing stories.
Mm-hmm.
But make it for like preteens.
Oh, because preteens are always so freaked out about things.
No, I taught middle school, so I was like, that would have been perfect. Like, listen to this podcast and you won't be so freaked out that, you know, like you farted in social studies today.
That totally makes sense. That's such a good idea. See? All right, pitch your idea. You have until, I don't know when this ends. You have until February 15th. They started on January 15th and you have about 2.5 weeks.
All right. I need to get it together.
I think this is just such a great idea because they don't care. They said they're interested in a wide variety of concepts, host styles, and structures. So really you just got to have the creativity part and like the convince them that this is a good enough idea and then they'll at least, you know, keep it in the loop. So
yeah, that, I mean, and it would be such a good platform to get on just so quickly.
I feel like even if, you know, there's just going to be a very, very, very small portion of people that actually get contacted or win or whatever, but it's just such a great exercise.
It really is. And it did, like when I saw it, it definitely made me automatically start to think like, wait, if I could do another one, what would it be?
Like, it's so easy to just get into your routine. Like, all right, well, this is what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to look for someone like this. And it's like, nah, I want to use my creative brain a little bit for something other than something I've kind of got down or like mastered at this point.
Yeah. Cause like once you get into your niche, it's kind of easy to stay there.
Yeah, it really is. You have to motivate yourself to kind of get a little out of the box every once in a while. But this is a highly structured version of get yourself out of the box.
This is me with big risk comes big rewards getting out of your niche.
Yes, that is actually very true. One, I wanted to mention this before on the show before the timing was up, but two, it really got me because this past weekend I went to PodCon, which is in Seattle, and it's a conference for a lot of listeners actually. People that are big fans of podcast shows and like they do, like they have the hosts come in and you can see them and you can meet them and whatnot. In that crowd is also a bunch of people that already have a show of their own, like already have a podcast of their own or are interested in starting one just because they have so many creative ideas going around in their minds and stories that they want to share because it's a very, it's not business oriented. It's just creative. I want to tell this audio drama. I want to tell this science fiction story. There's a lot of cosplaying going on there. I can't tell at all what show it's for. I have no idea what it is, but they all looked fantastic.
Oh, well, so, any excuse to dress up in a costume.
I know. To my coworker when we were sitting there at the booth, I was like, I'm getting so many ideas for Halloween. I was like, that's not what they're doing, but I don't understand what they're doing, and I'm going to use it for Halloween. Either go to the link in the show notes or look up American Public Media APM pitcher podcast idea and you will find more information about this. But I think it's a really great thing to kind of do for you, whether you do it for this or just kind of like think about it for your show.
Yeah. But don't try to steal me and Mackenzie's idea.
No. No, we can totally get that one going. We're going to get a list of celebrities, like some good ones. We talked about this, you know, this new celebrity show that we're going to be doing. Tell me about the one that you already have going.
Okay. So my podcast is called High Heels and Heartache. Mm-hmm. And it came out of, I am a survivor of domestic violence. And throughout my journey of healing, I've been super lucky with the resources that I have had access to. I had enough money to leave my abuser. Mm-hmm. I had a job that provided me insurance so that I could go to therapy to help me work through the post-traumatic stress that I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. I had family and friends who supported me and came to my restraining order hearing and all of these great things. And I just kept feeling so lucky. Mm-hmm. Like, and the whole time I just kept thinking, oh my God, there are other people that don't have these resources and I have to do something somehow to help those people. And for several years, I've just been kind of going back and forth. Well, what the heck do I do?
Like, how do I take this urge and this,
yeah,
this, like, you know, feel like you have this calling of something to do, and what do you actually do with it?
Mm-hmm. I had this passion of like, I want to help other people, but I didn't know how to funnel it. Mm-hmm. And my best friend was like, Kendallan, you should make a podcast. And I was like, haha, no.
Did you listen to them before?
I did listen to them. That's why I thought I could never do it.
Exactly.
I was like, oh my gosh, nobody wants to listen to my Maryland accent. What would I even talk about? Well, where do you buy a microphone? Like, I was like, no, I can't do that. It's too hard for me. And she just kept kind of pushing me and pushing me. And finally, one day I was like, all right, that's it. I'm doing it.
You left an abusive relationship. I feel like this is pretty bottom of the barrel for you to figure out.
You would think I could figure it out. So I just started reading everything I could about how to set up a podcast. And then I started sending tons of emails and tons of phone calls to experts and being like, hi, I want you to be my first guest on a podcast that doesn't yet exist. You want to do it? It'll help survivors of domestic violence. And most people were like, no.
Okay.
Yeah. But now I actually have people approach me who want to be on it. So that's really what it's from. It's really for all survivors of trauma, because we talk about trauma a lot, mm-hmm. whether that is an abusive relationship, or possibly you've been through a natural disaster, or you were in an environment where there was war, or you've been in the armed services. What I really want to provide to people is I interview experts about different things about trauma and how to heal from those things, because I've constantly been like, oh my gosh, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to give people those nuggets of information.
So when, actually, that was one of the, like, the written, I have like two questions written down, and one of them was, how are you finding your guests and then convincing them to come on? Because part of me automatically thinks, yes, I want to help the woman that is trying to help any person that is dealing with trauma, stress, relation, like toxic relationships, anything like that. So why do you think they were saying no?
I don't know. The people who usually say yes, mm-hmm. kind of have the same sort of spirit of the show. Because even though it's a show that talks about really heavy topics, mm-hmm. we can still laugh, and it's still, there's a joy in the show that we're all sort of working together to help people. So what I found is that my show tends to pull in the guests who have that same feeling, that same passion of really wanting to help survivors of trauma.
Kind of the same, the same spirit, the same outlook on the situation of how do we improve this entirely and not just one person.
And what I've also found is that it's the people who are very experienced in treating survivors of trauma, mm-hmm. who know exactly what it sort of does to your body and your brain, those people are usually the ones who are most likely to be on the show because they understand how important it is to get resources to people who have been traumatized.
Right. It's unfortunately, I imagine, so much easier to comprehend and realize the importance of this when you've, you know, dealt with it for a long time, maybe had a personal experience, something like that. So
I think sometimes people are like, what? Why did you name it what you named it? Because high heels and heartache doesn't have the word trauma or domestic violence in it. But the reason why I named it that was because I wanted to make sure, in case someone was listening that was still in an abusive relationship, that if that person had their computer or their mobile device, they wouldn't think twice about it. Looks like it would be like something like funny and, you know, like probably about like the housewives or whatever.
Yes.
So I wanted to make sure that people could feel safe listening to it and not be worried that their abuser might see what they're listening to and, you know, might do what abusers do when they find that information.
Are not happy with. Yes. That actually was one of the first things that I thought of. Like I liked the name and I was like, okay, this sounds good. And then when I clicked on your website, I immediately, like, that clicked with me just because of my experience when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Volunteering at the women's shelter, and my mom was like, you can never tell anyone the name of where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Well, good for you that you had that experience. You probably had a big impact on people's lives, and you didn't even know it as a kid, that you probably brought a lot of sunlight into people that needed it.
It was definitely a memorable experience. I mean, you're completely right. I had no idea what was happening at the time, but very worthwhile. And
yeah.
Why do you think in 2019 that this is an important show that like needs to be out there for people like this?
That's a great question. I think it's important because, first of all, lots of people who are survivors of trauma mm-hmm. don't really have an understanding of how it's impacted them.
Okay.
Also, I think that even though there is, you know, some talk about abusive relationships, it's still dirty secret.
There's still a stigma about it, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, you know, it's always, well, it's a lot of victim blaming.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you feel, as a survivor, very worried about the way you will be judged. And that leads to more alienation and isolation than what you were going through when you were actually being abused.
Yes, so, that truly just sounds like more anxiety on top of what you already had.
Yeah, so one reason why I think it's so important for people to just hear, like, okay, there's this girl, Kendall Ann, and she's out here, and if she's talking about this and she's talking about her experiences, and I'm hearing these experts who are talking about things that I've gone through, then mm-hmm. other people have probably gone through them as well.
Right.
So I think it sort of makes a community of people who have a shared experience and who don't have to feel so alone anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really important to me.
It's very important, and it's why people gravitate towards podcasts.
Because for sure.
It's so personal. It can be all different facets of emotions that you have when you're listening to a show. But one of them definitely is you feel like you're in on the conversation and in on the topic. And it's just so reassuring to hear that you're not alone.
I agree.
That's kind of taking me down a different road, but, have you gotten involved at all in the podcasting community, like as a creator?
You know what? I haven't done it as much as I've wanted to. I've had mm-hmm. lots of conversations with people just kind of online. And when
Big
I was
part
first,
of it is online.
Yeah. And when I was first starting, I was part of a group that helps you kind of get started and mm-hmm. make sense of what you're doing. But I would like to get more tuned into things just to see what other people are doing. How, because I'm sure we all have the same obstacles that we have to face, mm-hmm. and how we all, you know, face those challenges and get over them. Because certainly I am a big believer that two heads are better than one and that I don't have all the answers. So I would love to, you know, have more time to get together with other people who are podcasting and just kind of chat about where we see it going, where we've been, and, you know, how to overcome all of our obstacles.
Oh, yeah. It's something that I've been thinking about more and more recently is I feel like a lot of people should have like a podcast buddy.
Yes.
It's not like my initial thought is obviously like your AA sponsor or something like that. And I'm like, this is just the much like the much calmer version of that, I feel like.
Yeah, someone to be like, no, Mackenzie, just send one more email, girl. You can do it. This might be the one. This is it.
Like, you said you were going to get the episode out on Wednesday and it is Friday. Where is it?
Or, you know, someone to send selfies to when you're like editing and it's midnight.
Yes. And you're like, hi, I don't want to do this anymore.
You're just drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I would have had someone, even though my husband was extremely supportive, but I wish I would have had someone like standing beside me who had done it before when I published my first episode.
That's such a weird feeling.
That was the scariest thing to do. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was so afraid of the technology of it. Yep. I was afraid people would be like, what is this girl doing? What is all of this about? Just, you know, just to have an extra push of someone who had been there and been like, it's all going to be okay. And if it stinks, you could take it down.
Oh, that, God. Yeah, I feel like people just should remember that. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, just to kind of get them over that hump, that paralyzing fear that people have when they're like, oh, I have this done, or I've been thinking about it for 2 years and I still haven't done it. And I'm like, just remember, one, it's always going to get better. You're 100% going to become a better podcaster if you just do it. But two, like, if it really blows that much, just delete it.
And if they say, like, did you used to have a podcast? No.
No. Mm-hmm. No, just mm-hmm. no. Just nod and deny.
That was another Mackenzie. That was not me.
I have nothing to do with that. It's
exactly.
Like, how long have you been doing this?
Almost a year.
That's great.
So I'm still kind of a
really
newbie
good.
In it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to feel that way until you don't feel that way. It's going to be different for everyone.
Well, now I'm not paralyzed with fear when I have to do a remote interview. So that's been really good because that used to scare me to death.
Tell me a little bit about that. So you always have a guest on the show, but mm-hmm. from the sounds of that, they're not always remote. Sometimes you're meeting them in person.
Yeah. So I have my podcast studio in the bonus room of my house.
Perfect room.
And so a lot of times people are like, yeah, I'll just come do it in person.
Yeah.
So that's great. Especially, you know, I live right outside of Raleigh. So there's plenty of experts around who can come. Mm-hmm. And then other times I find people who live other places. And so I've had to learn, you know, again, different platforms to use.
Great.
And it depends on like what platform they feel comfortable. And maybe they have a different platform than I'm used to using. And so mm-hmm. I had to learn that quickly.
Yes.
I kind of
sprung that on you today. I was like, we'll just use Skype.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I can learn this. And I've had to learn things like how to do a mix minus through a mixer and all of it. It's just so the remote thing first, it used to really scare me. Like I would have my husband in the bedroom next to the bonus room on the phone with me.
In case something goes wrong and whatnot.
And
yes.
Being like, can you hear me? I can hear you. Hold on. It didn't work, you know? And then I'd be like, okay, so maybe that just worked because he was close. Now let me force my best friend that lives in Florida to call me. Okay. Yes. Now I've used her 4 times. So now I'm going to make my mom call me. So mm-hmm. It's just, it's a whole lot of people that you gotta test your tech out before you're actually ready to do it.
I completely understand. There's a lot of work that goes into a podcast. A lot. That people just don't necessarily know of.
I know. And when I hear, before I started doing it, I never really thought about how much work it took.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I hear people, especially like when they're having like three or four people on a conversation, I'm like, oh, I wonder how they're doing that through their mixer.
Yeah, I know. You're like, ooh, this is fun. Let me dive into the technical difficulties of this type of recording.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, how did they have that many microphones and headsets?
Yep. It's a lot. We're actually, so if anyone has noticed or is, you know, unhappy or whatever, with the sound of this, I'm sure it'll sound okay, but it is not being recorded on my typical studio because that is currently on the floor.
Oh.
Like taken apart on the floor.
That's not good. What happened?
No, it is good. It is good. So we're upgrading.
Ooh.
So we recently just got this new desk that has the capability to have eight different people.
Wow.
At one table with their own mic. And tomorrow, which is Friday, and this, so by the time this episode is out, it will be all done and I'll probably have a picture. So check that out. But.
Ooh, that's so exciting.
I know. I'll put in some before and after pictures. So we're adding more people. We got this fancy new desk and everything. And our support guy, Mike, came down from Michigan to Ohio to help me set it up because if I tried to do this, no.
It's harder than mix minus.
Yeah. Yes. And two, you have to like solder mics together, like microphone, like cords and whatnot together based on the setup that we got. And that's just not in my wheelhouse. It's just not something I can do. So he's going to be here. We're going to be working on this tomorrow. I imagine it. We're going to pretend it went really smoothly. And I can ruin that and just tell people that when we say that, we are lying because it's going to be a long day.
Oh, well, at least it'll be a Friday.
Yes. Yes, it'll be good. But it'll be really exciting. And then I'll be recording at this new setup from now on, and hopefully we'll be getting some other people in here. We haven't really decided how we're going to do that in terms of, do we want to get people from Columbus in here and make it available to the public or whatnot, but Blueberry Studios is picking up speed. How often are you releasing episodes?
I do one a month.
That's good.
Yeah. There were a couple months that I did more than one, like October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so I did two in that month.
Makes sense.
And it just kind of depends, but I find that one a month is enough for me to learn about what I'm talking about, so I'm not like, don't sound totally stupid when I'm interviewing a guest. And it gives me enough time to find a guest. And as always, people cancel or change, so you always have to be ready for that.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a good process. I never really thought about that, because you can kind of go either way, interview style of, I know nothing, give me your spiel, and then you can do the other way where you're like really digging into things that they might not be expecting.
And I always try to kind of take it from my experience and link it with what the expert is talking about. So that way it's not just all of these, you know, strange concepts sort of out there in space, but things that people can relate to that maybe
they've experienced. Yeah, you bring a real world element to it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to go about it. So would you ever consider doing the show like with someone else, or do you feel like it's your baby?
Ooh, what a good question. I sort of feel like it's kind of my baby.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like it would have to be a really special circumstance.
Yeah.
That you would be I open guess it's to because something
it,
else.
It's so personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have such a strong idea of the vibe that I want.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't want anyone to like mess up my vibe. so, and I've spent just like so much time doing things like choosing the right theme music.
Oh yeah, no, that's, it's a, like, actually very important.
Yeah, and I had to, like, find the right balance between, like, okay, it's poppy and fun, but it's not too fun. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff I've cultivated for a reason, and it's kind of my baby, and I don't want anybody else to get in here and mess it up.
It's your baby. You keep it your baby. That's fine. I totally understand that. So what is your, this is my last question. What is your favorite thing about after you've gotten the episode out?
First of all, seeing it up and knowing that I did all the technology right, I'm like, yes!
Just a and sigh then, of relief a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my favorite thing so far has been when I was looking at my stats to see that at least one episode of the podcast has been downloaded in 32 countries.
Yes.
That was very overwhelming for me and made me honestly cry to think yeah. about, you know, like that people in 32 countries across the world have listened in. That made me feel really good because I'm helping people, and that's truly what High Heels and Heartache is I really want to help people, you know, with their trauma and make sense of the trauma that they've been through.
Mm-hmm. What you're doing is just important.
Thank you.
Never doubt something like that. Is that if you're reaching anyone with the topic that you're working with and just trying to help people, like it's, you're doing good to someone somewhere.
Thank
sure.
you.
Is there anything else you would like to mention or talk about or something with your show?
There's a lot of different topics on things that have kind of been in the media recently,
yes.
like things like gaslighting,
mm-hmm.
narcissism. One of my favorite episodes is how to set boundaries with people because I'm horrible at that. So, so I really liked those episodes. And if you want me to interview an expert about something, email me or write in on social media and I can find the person and we can help you. I think that's an important part too. I do what people tell me, whatever they want to hear is what I'll interview an expert on.
Yeah. I feel like that's actually a pretty good way to go about it. You're like, I have some control and I will go out and reach out for these people that I know I think is important that we talk about, but mm-hmm. Tell me what else.
I also really have enjoyed the episodes when we talk about how trauma affects the brain.
Oh, kind of get into like the science of it.
Yeah, that really like gets like my nerd juices flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. But it also helps you like make sense of what happened. So it's like a 2-for-1 for me.
Yeah, it's like, one, this is fun to learn about just because it's super interesting, but two, it probably makes people feel a little better. This is literally just the science of how human bodies work, and
exactly.
It makes probably at least assist in helping you accept or move on or something.
Yeah.
Again, it's High Heels and Heartache, and where can they find you to listen to episodes?
You can find me on social media or whatever. Yeah, you can find me anywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, episodes on iTunes, TuneIn, and highheelsandheartache.com.
Perfect. Perfect. So a show for, I feel like, a lot of different people that even if they have been lucky enough to not be in that type of situation, it's just, I don't know, something that I feel like people should be a little more informed of.
Yeah, because even if you're not being abused, there could be some gaslighting in your relationship, so you might need a little information on that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, regardless of whether you are happy or not or don't realize exactly what's going on, it's just good insight.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, and I have one last topic for the end of the show.
Okay.
And it's not super, super podcast specific. It's just the top 5 social media marketing trends in 2019, because anyone that has a podcast realizes you have more than just a podcast. You have a brand. You have social media that is not just let me tell people that I liked this movie or something like that. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and social media is definitely one of those. Okay, the top five. Number one is artificial intelligence. Number two is chatbots. Number three, video marketing. Four is influencer marketing. And five is personalization. That's a lot.
I think that video marketing is probably the easiest for people to do that have podcasts. And I've done a couple videos. Like, I have a YouTube channel, but they were more like commercials for upcoming video, for upcoming episodes. And that's been one thing I want to change.
It was like a preview or trailer. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. And that's one thing I want to change of, like, I think it might be helpful for people to see, you know, like, what goes into an episode. I'm editing, you know, that kind of thing. Cause I think that when you have a podcast, people feel like they sort of know you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that you're their friend, but they want to know more about you. So I think that video marketing would be a really great way to bring people into your podcast, because they would really be able to connect with you as the host.
Okay, this is, regardless of whether people like it or not, this is saying, according to a report by Cisco, 82% of internet traffic will be through video by 2021. So, dude, get on that now before you are the last person to do it in 2021.
Oh my God, 2021 is close.
I know, it's 2 years from now. 82% of internet traffic will be through video. Really kind of making me uncomfortable.
I hope everyone who is on that 82% of internet traffic listening to those videos has earbuds in, and they're not just listening to them public. That makes me insane.
They don't deserve it. They don't deserve YouTube or video or whatever it is. They should have it like ripped out from their hands.
And I, you know, one of the ones, the fifth biggest marketing trend in 2019, the personalization, I think that can get a little weird. Like,
it can. It kind of, there's like a level of uncomfortableness there for me.
Yeah, like too close. Back up.
It says, in fact, 96% of marketers believe that personalization advances customer relationships. And as someone that, you know, works for Blueberry, and everyone has an account with us and whatnot, I can assure you, yes, people enjoy having an account that, like, they understand and is theirs and whatnot. But I also feel like, stop asking me so many personal questions.
Well, if I started getting emails from you guys like, hey, you clicked on this 3 times yesterday, what's up with that? I would be like, whoa, back up.
Yep.
You know, like, I think that you could take personalization way too far.
Oh, you can't. You absolutely can. I mean, we have information that we could use. We just don't want to utilize because it would freak people out. Like, if we were them, we'd be like, okay, no, never again. Please don't talk. Please forget I exist. We know too much. But even with, I don't know if you're familiar with it, something called GDPR. I forget what it stands for. It's been a long year of GDPR, but it's from the UK, and it's helping people keep their information like that safe from companies.
Yeah.
And we are fully compliant with that and not collecting anything that people don't already know that we're collecting. Mm-hmm. We just don't use it in a way that would freak people out.
I get freaked out when I see Snapchat ads of things that I've been looking at on my phone. Like, I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. So I'm not, I'm a little on the fence about the personalization.
You really gotta walk the line there of creepy and productive. That's all I really have to say about it. So what else? Okay, they got influencer marketing. Sounds like Instagram influencer to me.
Yeah, like if Kylie Jenner wants to go on her Instagram and be like, listen to High Heels and Heartache, yay. But I'm not sure how you get an influencer to help market your podcast unless you pay them.
I think that's kind of what you have to do, unfortunately. So for some people, that is a realistic possibility. And for others, true. Or they just hate the idea of it. However, it is saying that it's going to be more and more popular according to this list. Mm. So look out for that in good and bad ways. what else we got? Chatbots, which as far as I know is just like the thing that pops up on like a web page or like that you can immediately chat with someone through like Instagram or something like that to discuss a question that you have about the product or service.
Like when you're like ordering something from Zappos.
Yes.
And you can be like, do these shoes run true to size?
Yes, I believe that is exactly what it is. So the first thing I do, like if I'm about to contact customer support for anything, the first thing I look for is the chat because I don't want to send an email because I want to get this done right now. And I don't want to call because I am, for the most part, a pretty patient person, but not with anything that speaks to me. So I don't listen to the prompts from the automated phone call.
That's what I do. I just kept pressing 0000.
I really do. The second they stop talking and then it's just like, I have to press a button. I'm just immediately as a swear word. And I'm like, I wasn't listening. And then I just press something. I also yell at Alexa and Siri and Google Home and whatever other ones we have. I hate them.
That
so,
kind of artificial intelligence. That's like the, yeah,
the
number
the last
one trend.
One we got. I work for a podcasting company. I've been listening to podcasts for a very long time. I was an early adopter of them. I am an early adopter of many technologies. Really, truly having a hard time with AI. I hate it.
Does it scare you? Like, are you thinking robots are going to replace us?
No, like, if that happened, I'd totally be chill. I'd be fine with that. But I just accept it and I'd be like, all right, well, bye.
It was fun while it lasted.
I don't think we've gotten to the point where they work efficiently enough in your day-to-day life that they are useful.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, do you have a Roomba?
No. That's like kind of one of the only things that I'd be like, this seems like it's worth it.
And remember, I have a golden retriever. Yes. So I'm totally cool with the artificial intelligence of the remote backup.
It's just, what is it? Okay, what does it say? We'll take over, artificial intelligence will take over the world, or at least the simple jobs, such as consumer behavior and search patterns utilizing data from social media. It will help automate and optimize your customer service. 25% of customer service will use chatbot technology by 2020. And it says,
I feel like most customer service is kind of already using chatbot.
I would agree.
It says like the first line of defense.
It says that's only up from less than 2. Wait, according to Gartner, 25% of customer service will use chatbot technology by 2020, up from less than 2% in 2017.
Whoa,
that's insane.
Yeah,
that is what. That seems like that's just seems wrong based on how often I see that.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, it's like, well, it's saying that the chat box is not necessarily a real person until, like, you get to a point where the chat box can't handle it anymore. But I feel like that already happens.
Yeah. And I feel like it's been happening.
I feel like that's already a part of my life where I'm not, like, I'm chatting with someone, but I'm not really chatting with someone. I'm just chatting with the search engine that they have associated to the questions that I am asking.
Yeah.
So,
and then if they don't answer your question, you're calling them on the phone and screaming at them and pushing 0 a million times.
Yes. That's the thing. Like, if it was an actual person, I would be so nice to them, but it's not.
When I get to the person that I want to talk to, I'm very nice to them. I'm always like, correct. I know you didn't cause this problem. I'm just a little frustrated. I'm nice to them, but in the run up to getting to that person, oh.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Me neither.
I'm not happy at all. It's not a good look for me. So, okay. Those are the social media marketing trends that are going to take over the world in 2019.
All right, well, we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Social media is important for podcasting. Remember
that. It's very important.
Remember that. Whenever you And social media goes right on in there with having a website.
Yeah.
So even if it's just super, super simple, get both.
Yeah.
Because social media relies on search engines, and what do you think search engines are relying on if you don't have a website?
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that as a podcaster, you sort of have to embrace all of it in order to make your podcast successful. You have to be like, all right, I need a website. Okay. I need social media. It's not just, let me just make this podcast. Cause if you just do that, no one's going to actually hear it. Like you have to market it, and social media is a great way. Yeah, even if just your friends listen to it.
Yeah. Like no one's saying that you have to do like that. You have to go all in on every single facet, but it's 2019. If you don't have some type of social media presence, it's kind of doesn't really seem like a real thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it seems like it's new or that it never really happened or like you got to have some type of paper trail.
And I think like when you're in it, you start to learn what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Like for me, I don't love Instagram because you can't make any links.
Oh yeah, it's kind like of a nightmare. It's like you can just have the one in your bio.
Yeah, so like to me, I don't like. I would prefer to tweet about an episode or to put it on the page for the podcast. But I still put something up on Instagram because you never know. But like, I just don't put as much.
You're not
time
spending as much time
Instagram.
There. Yeah,
exactly.
That's
I don't know. Maybe I need artificial intelligence or chat box or something.
Please don't. Please don't, at least with Instagram and whatnot.
Maybe that's what I'm missing.
I did get some promoted advertisement on my Twitter the other day. It was for another podcasting company, and I was like, I don't want this.
You're
I don't
like,
want this at all. So. You can't escape it, people.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kendall Ann, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a great time.
Good. And I'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.